Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Question. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
How you feeling, brother?
Struggle bus. It is real when what you do is affected, and that's what's going on over the last few days, and you'll be able to hear that in my voice, and we'll work through it. But I couldn't stay at home anymore. I got to be honest with you. I just couldn't. Like, if you are sick, right? Like, you're ill, and you're coughing, and you're, you know, you just, like, you're overcome. Then stay at home and do what you do. But, Mike, that wasn't the case. Literally, you know, every time I open my mouth, Michelle's like, shut up.
Right.
And
right.
I'm like, but we're not having this conversation. And I'm like, so I'm sitting around, I'm playing with the dogs, I'm snacking, which, you know, I thought I was past that because it's 2025, I'm trying to get right. Here I am just snacking and eating chips. Found myself watching daytime television. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? What is going on here? So either way, man, appreciate all the love. But we are back today, and we do have a lot to get to because Mike is over the last couple of days, and I know you guys, and thanks to Tribble and Chris for stepping in, have been talking about this. The list seems extensive, doesn't it? For the Falcons?
Right. I mean, well, it should be, right? Throw a wide net out there, man.
I think everybody's getting interviewed. And we know today, by the way, if you have not heard, there are interviews that are going on. And we're going to talk about it. But, you know, I heard Wink Martindale got interviewed. And I'm like, Mike, we always talk about a guy that blitzes like crazy.
Right.
He brings the kitchen sink. It doesn't matter where he's been. Baltimore, L.A., Chargers, everywhere he's been. He has extensive blitz packages, and they get to the quarterback. And it's one of the reasons why he's interesting to me. Now, I don't think he's going to get the job. That's just me. But I was like, that's the kind of a guy I want.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want somebody, if we're honest, and this is where it gets a little weird, and maybe this is where what the Falcons and what Raheem Morris is going to do and what Falcon fans want goes and splits. I don't want anybody who's got ties to the Falcons. I don't want Jeff Ulbrich. I don't want anybody who's worked with Raheem. I know the guys always go with guys they know. I would love a Wink Martindale. Carl just said it. Aggressive as hell. Look at that Ravens defense. You know, look what he did there. Him and Dable got sideways. That's what I want. I want someone who's going to challenge. If Raheem and the plan doesn't make sense, I would like somebody to go, no. So that's one guy. I mentioned Dennis Allen. They have not spoken to him yet. And again, as we said yesterday, Carl, forget about what they did as head coaches. We're talking about DCs.
Yes.
You know, Steve Wilkes apparently is going to, is that today, Chris? They're interviewing today. But Steve Wilkes. Next week, they said yesterday, but Steve Wilkes is going to talk to them. That's another guy. I'd love it. I'm cool with that decision if that's the guy.
Mike, you just said something, though, I think is really important. And that is you need guys who don't think like you. The way you grow as a coach is to bring in guys. This was the brilliance, believe it or not, of Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn used to get his butt kicked by Kyle Shanahan. And he said, man, that is a hard offense to stop. I always have problems trying to scheme against this guy. What's he do? He goes and hires him. What did Nick Saban do at Alabama, Mike? All those offensive coordinators that gave him issues, he gave him a shot.
Right.
Including a guy named Lane Kiffin. So this is the brilliance of, hey, I can stay in my little bubble, and I can hire somebody I know that's really cool with me. Or I can bring in somebody who maybe thinks about things differently. I'm not saying they're not on the same, you know, page when it comes to philosophy of how the defense should go. But, Mike, I think that is maybe is something that we need. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. But there is a long list of guys. Robert Saleh is interviewing for the Raiders job today. Vance Joseph is also interviewing for that Raiders job. Todd Monken, guys, I think he's going to get a job, Mike. If he gets, I think Todd Monken's going to get a job, regardless of what happens this weekend. Bobby Slowick, you talked about his brand taking maybe a hit. He's interviewing with the Jets. And, oh, look who else is interviewing with the Jets today. Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and it would be really hard-pressed, I think, looking at what the Steelers were now. You could argue that the wide receiver skill position wasn't great. Quarterback situation was constantly in flux. But I don't think Arthur Smith did anything to really sort of, I mean, put himself heads and shoulders or anywhere above any other candidate by what he did with the Steelers this year. I think he's, I mean, good for the experience to get back out there, take some interviews, but I can't see him getting hired this cycle.
So they got in the playoffs. And I'd be willing to tell you that the Steelers have been in the playoffs the last 5 years without Arthur Smith. You're right. Did he increase his visibility around the league by doing what he did in Pittsburgh? That I don't know. Maybe, Mike, some of these owners are desperate, as we know, and they think he's going to be great. And I think Arthur's going to get another chance. I just don't know if it'll be this coaching cycle. And then the other guy we got to talk about is obviously Ben Johnson. It has nothing to do with the Falcons, but
right.
He apparently has changed agents and is going to take a job somewhere. Where, we don't know, but I know Chris mentioned the other day the Raiders' connection with Tom Brady. Again, what are they picking, Chris? Sixth, I think, in the draft?
Right.
So maybe this is you get the quarterback you want, if that's the case. You come in, you hire the staff you want, you've got the support of Brady, and certainly if you have the support of Brady, that means you have the support of the owner. But, Mike, apparently he is willing to leave the farm, as we like to say, this right. time around.
Yeah, and it's tough for the Raiders because, and Chris and I got into this yesterday, I mean, it's not a great quarterback draft. I mean, that's why, you know, Carson Beck, maybe if he just, you know, deals with whatever his issue is with his shoulder and he can't work out for teams, perhaps he could have been a second-round pick because it's just teams are dying for quarterbacks and there's just nothing out there. I mean, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And then after that, there's a tremendous fall-off. I mean, I don't think you get defined by one game, but Drew Aller didn't do anything to impress. It's kind of like Sam Darnold. Drew Aller didn't do anything for Penn State.
That's true.
You know, in that Orange Bowl to make you think, oh, yeah, that's the guy. So I'm not sure where the Raiders would go. If you can move up, and again, maybe some teams will package some stuff. Some general managers get really aggressive to try to get in that top three because Travis Hunter is going to go 1, 2, 3 somewhere.
I agree with you. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. What do you think about Lou Anarumo?
You know, it's funny because at first I was like, nah, because they were so awful. And then Chris and I did a deep dive on his stats the last couple of years.
Yes.
And we even talked to a couple of Bengals fans, you know, so I don't know how objective the Bengals fans were. We're always too close to it here. But some guy said, yeah, amazing run with it, what he inherited, taking to the Super Bowl, AFC champs. And then you lose Jesse Bates, you lose injuries. You know, you still had Hendrickson, but still that, I don't know. And I argue that even with all the injuries, he comes to an Atlanta team that's worse than Cincinnati on defense. So I'm maybe not as negative as I was. I'll be lukewarm. How's that? I'm lukewarm. Steve Wilks I like. Dennis Allen I like.
Me too.
I really like Wink Martindale just because, again, for all the things we talked about, shaking things up.
Well, he's got a plan. Like, this is how my defenses play. And if I don't have the guys, I'm going to go get the guys. And if I don't have the guys, I can supplement with the way we play because this is how we do it. I'm with you. I like all three of those guys. It's going to be interesting to see which way they go. How soon does this happen? Somebody asked me that yesterday when I was at home, and I was like, it could happen as soon as today. Like, if you interview a guy and he blows you away and he has the qualifications and all these guys are qualified,
right.
Don't wait. What are we waiting for? Hire him.
Right. Now, you do have to worry about the other coaches who will get hired at the other jobs and when they start to put their staff together and perhaps there's some guys you're interested in that, you know, get swooped up. We'll get to that. There was an interesting factoid. We'll get more in-depth in the NFL Blitz. Saw today an article that said Bill Belichick has still not signed his contract with North Carolina.
Why?
Because I think he still thinks he can get an NFL gig. Boy, that would be you want to talk about you got no credibility in the world if you pull that and rip the rug out from under the Tar Heels. But he is starting to put a staff together, but it was out there in The Athletic today that apparently he's still not signed his deal.
Yeah.
Listen, that's something.
It is. And if I'm UNC, I'm concerned.
I mean, hell yeah.
You told me you were committed. You did the press conference. We're all in. We're giving you everything you need. We're going to raise our NIL money. And you haven't signed your deal yet?
And the nature of the buyout is so curious. Everyone's thinking it could be a one and done. Could be a summer and done. You know, so who knows?
Who's going to recruit and then leave?
I don't know. I mean, that's why the whole thing never made sense from the jump. But eventually he's putting his staff together there. But, yeah, you got Vrabel up there in New England. And there'll be lots of ties to what he did in New England and Tennessee, you would imagine. But I love the idea of Robert Saleh. It just seems like Robert Saleh says, I'm going to go be a head coach again.
I think
you know,
so too.
And I got unfortunately, you know, a bad experience with the Jets, and maybe I learn from that, and maybe just some things you do a better job at. I think that you talk about Belichick's the classic case. What happened in Cleveland, and then now he was better second time around.
Second time around, and listen, it doesn't happen for everybody, but my guess is Most of these coaches learn from their mistakes. Mm. And the biggest thing, Mike, is who your staff is. Like, that's right. A big part of this. It doesn't necessarily have to do all with you. But it is an interesting case study to see what's going to happen with Belichick. Hey, coming up, Georgia fans, Silas Demaree Jr. is going to join us. And he's a player on the Georgia basketball team. They had a tough one last night against Tennessee. But, Mike, they get number one Auburn at home on Saturday. He stops by the show here coming up, and we're going to get a chance to chop it up with him about Georgia. The fact that they were ranked, all right, and I think they'll remain ranked. Listen, the SEC is a beast this year. There are a lot of good teams when it comes to hoops.
It's loaded. I mean, the SEC is loaded. I was just telling Chris, and you get Auburn, as you mentioned. I saw the highlights the other day. They literally look like the Harlem Globetrotters taking on Miss State. I mean, it was just like everything's above the rim. I mean, just – and the crowd, like the crowd's rolling. We talked about this, the Auburn tickets. I forget who it was. Somebody from one of the sites that cover the Dogs. Tickets for this Auburn-Georgia game are insane. I mean, you're talking about, like, is widespread panic playing Stegman? You right. see some of the tickets. So that's good news for Mike White. We figured, look, the progression is there's got to be movement. You got to be getting things going. You've got to make a run in the tournament this year. We're talking about March Madness. And we'll ask the young man, you know, in this wild west of NIL, why'd you choose Georgia?
Yeah, there are good things happening with the Georgia basketball program. The bad thing is everybody else in the SEC seemingly is getting better. Ole Miss is good. And, Mike, you know, it's funny. You start looking around the league, and I said they're probably going to have the most teams of any conference, I think, in the NCAA tournament. Just by the nature of the size, the Big Ten's going to have a bunch. But I'm talking about quality teams, like teams that can get all the way to the Final Four and win it.
Right.
There are probably six teams right now in the SEC who could do that. All right, we got a lot to get to, guys. We are live in studio, but tomorrow we're going to be out Twin Peaks Buckhead. Just a reminder that we'll be out there hanging out. How was yesterday, by the way?
Great crowd. Thanks to everybody who came out to Buffalo's Cafe and Hiram and everybody. You got to come back out here. Okay. I mean, hey, man, as we like to say, if the money's right, we'll be right back. But, yeah, it was a great crowd. Chris did a great job filling in. But we had the whole back room at Buffalo's just filled. And so many fun. It's fun because guys are excited to see us because we never get up in that neck of the woods. Everybody's asking for you. And it's so fun. All the folks that brought their kids and all the kids who've been listening, you know, since they were even little are going, 92.9, the game. Everybody knows the jingle. All the kids saying, hey, man. So it was a great crowd.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for being there. We expect to come back out there to Hiram. We'll be back out there as well. All right, we got a lot to get to. Coming up, as we mentioned, Silas Demaree Jr. from the Dogs basketball team is going to talk to us here for a few minutes. We'll chop it up with him. Also, we got a lot more stuff going on. Mike, this Deion Sanders to the Cowboys thing, I'm not going to say it's heating up, but guys, it is a developing story. It's not going away, and as long as the Cowboys have not hired anybody, you have to believe that Deion is a viable candidate. He's willing to go if offered. Him and Jerry have talked, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, guys talk all the time. And if he's going to offer this job, so, Mike, that's something right. we're keeping an eye out on. Again, and he's saying all the right things about staying at Colorado, too. He is.
Yeah, now I just, my feeling, we'll get into it. I got a feeling that Jerry just likes his name being mentioned in the news cycle. I think it's going to be Kellen Moore. It'll be uncompelling, but right now Deion is getting the headlines.
All right, we're coming back. We'll talk Georgia hoops next.
Hey, man, the band is back together. This hour of the show, Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Go to PADLYBuys.com. Carl, hanging in there, man. We'll be over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow, 2 to 7, so join the party. And just keep your distance. Don't get the cooties. Luckily, this guy is ready to roll. It is Silas Demaree Jr. He's playing point guard for Georgia, and they got a huge game coming up against Auburn. It's going to be electric at Stegman. Silas, welcome to Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Appreciate you, man. Let's talk about the last night's situation with Tennessee. I mean, you guys have been playing so well. You beat Kentucky earlier this year, beat Oklahoma. What do you think happened last night and the development of this team as you guys continue to grow together?
I would say it just happened last night. I think a better team just got us on one of our off nights. They played very well. They shot it very well. They turned us over a couple times. I think we kind of hurt ourselves when they started pressing us just with some lackadaisical turnovers, but out of all the negatives, I think our positive was we responded even when they went on their big run. But like you said, the growth with this team is we just want to take it one game at a time, be where our feet are. You know, we've played a lot of tough games, and we have tough games coming up. I think we played like five top-ranked teams, and then looking into the future into our schedule, we play another four or five. So it's just about being confident, not losing confidence, and not wavering. You know, following the coach's game plan and just giving each other confidence when we can.
Yes, Silas. I mean, the SEC is loaded. We were just talking about it before you came on. Georgia's 23. It seems like so many teams are going to make it to the tournament. One thing we were always curious about, now with this new age of NIL, I know you were going to go to USC. Why'd you go with Mike White and Georgia?
I just felt like they just had the better plan for me, the better situation. And just when they came and talked to my family and I took a visit, it just felt like nothing but home. And I feel like everything Coach White has said has came to fruition for me. So I just think that's a testimony to just him being honest and just us coming together and working, especially in year two, just the growth that we've had from last year to this year. So,
Silas, did you feel like you got, and I'm asking, false promises from other coaches, and we don't need to name them, versus the way Mike White approached you? And what was the selling point? Like, what did he tell you? What was going to happen? And why are you so happy there at Georgia?
I wouldn't say it was false promises, just things just didn't start to feel like how I felt at the beginning with the relationship I built with that school. So I just felt it was best for me just to kind of move on and find the best situation. I think Coach White and them just attacked it head on. Like I said, when they came and saw my family and I, they had a plan. They showed me how they wanted to use me within their program and how I could grow in the city of Athens and the state of Georgia. So I just think it was just the best plan. And Coach White, you know, he's an everyday guy. And we kind of resemble each other a lot. Mm.
It is Silas Demery, guys, from the Georgia Bulldogs, man, getting ready for Auburn at 1 o'clock on Saturday at Stegman. How you liking Athens, man? How you liking the vibe out there?
Man, I love it here. It's just being a just seeing the fans and everything be interested in coming to the basketball games and selling out the games, it's just been nothing but a lot of fun. Because last year we started something, fans started coming more and more to the games. Mm. And then this year, you know, just winning those games and winning those top AP matchups, I feel like it's just a lot of fun when you go around campus and people know who you are. You're going into different restaurants, people know who you are, asking to take pictures. I think we're just in a good place in Athens, and I think you can kind of say we're not just a football school anymore.
Yeah, right. They are a top 25 team, Mike. Mm-hmm. Broke into the top 25 this week, which is great, and I think they'll stay there. Talk about where you've improved, because, you know, you can score. We know that. You are averaging, I think, 12 or 13 a game. But the fact is, I think your defense has improved. Do you feel that way, and where do you feel like you need more improvement?
I definitely just felt like just – my whole confidence about my game has just grown from last year to this year. Just the coaches, you know, just watching film and seeing where I can be aggressive and seeing where I can be better. But I think I've grown in just having the confidence in taking those open threes. I think my percent has went up a good amount. Like, all my percents have went up this year. So I think it's just the confidence, really, just knowing that I work on my game day in and day out, and then just being able to showcase it when it needs to be shown.
I know we talk so much about, you know, the NBA gets guys who do the one and dones, and you wish guys would stick around. And, you know, the idea that, you know, you've had 2 years now, are you going to stick around, or are you feeling, maybe it's time to jump?
I would just say for me, it's kind of just like I have a great relationship with God. Mm. And I just, whenever that time is right and when God feels like it's time for me to go, I feel like that'll happen. But I try not to think about that. I kind of more so worried about how I can be better and leading my team and helping us win games rather than worrying about the NBA, because I feel like if we win games and we get to the tournament, I feel like all that I'll take care of itself.
Right. And Silas, not to get in your pocket, but with NIL, does it give you a little more, you know, flexibility?
I would say it definitely does give you a little bit of flexibility, because you can help out your family. And then even looking back, like, I like to help out in the community. I remember going home last year and doing a Christmas drive. So just being able to, you know, do certain things and be able to show that, like, show myself outside of basketball, I think NIL has been a blessing.
Silas, your dad was a professional athlete. Talk a little bit about that, man.
Yeah, my dad played professionally in the Arena Football League, played for a couple of different teams. But I just think him being a professional, he kind of showed me early how to take care of my body, be a professional. Like, if I want to do this, I have to be 100% bought in. Like, I have to. And sometimes you have to sacrifice different things. Like, you can't do what your friends are doing sometimes. And I think him just being able to show me that at a young age, and then me growing, and him letting me bump my head a few times and me learning on my own, I think that helped me grow into the person I am now.
Silas Demery Jr. joining us. UGA men's basketball. They got a big one against number one Auburn on Saturday, guys, at home. And Mike said it, tickets are hot, and they should be. Dogs are playing really well. What's the hardest thing about being a college athlete right now?
I would just say being able to deal with all the noise that gets thrown at you. I think now that NIL is a thing, people kind of say you hold you to a certain standard. And I think it's hard when you lose games and you see your fans kind of like really talk bad about you, but then you play good and they talk good. So I think just the biggest thing is just mental health. I think guys being able to put their phone down and get away from social media, just being able to get away, because I think sometimes guys get so caught up within the media and start reading those things and start believing and doubting themselves. So I just say mental health is really the biggest thing with being a college athlete, because you go through so much.
That's really cool, man. Give us the insight. By the way, what is the craziest vibe in the SEC? What's the toughest gym to play in?
So far, I'd probably say Tennessee was probably the craziest, because I feel like the teams we play that are ranked this year, I didn't get to play at their arenas last year, so I think this year I'll get to see like those away games and who has kind of some of the craziest crowds. But I would say Tennessee was probably, because once it got loud, it stayed loud the rest of the game. So,
you cool with some of the cats on the football team, man?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely cool with some of those guys. You know, I talk to them from time to time, see them around campus. So.
Yeah, I just, you know, that vibe you're talking about, I guess that synergy between the football and basketball and how you guys support each other. I know those guys show up for your games as well, and I know you guys go to their games. So, you know, that's the way it should be, man, and I'm with you. Georgia is coming. It should be a very good year. And, Silas, we wish you nothing but the best, brother. Good luck.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks, man. It's cool getting to go behind the scenes, and because we have not talked a lot about Mike White's program, because we're waiting for this big jump, and hopefully this is the year where the big jump is happening. 2-2 in SEC play, and hopefully, as you said, stay in the top 25.
Big O, the Asa kid, I mean, I know he's playing well. I think he's averaging a double-double, if I'm right, somewhere close to it.
Close to it, yeah.
But he's supposed to be a difference maker, right?
He is. The kind of that new age, the inside-outside guy, mm-hmm. a guy who's versatile enough to bang down low, but they can take you outside, also beat you off the dribble. So, if anything, he gives Georgia a player with size that is versatile, and they haven't had that the past few years there.
All right.
Yeah, 6'11", and 7 foot in heels, Carl.
Well, listen, size, you can't teach it, right?
Right.
And that's why all these coaches coveted. And then if you have size and you can actually shoot the rock, right, and then you become Kevin Garnett or those kinds of players, then you become very dangerous. But everybody's looking for those kinds of guys.
By the way, you were off the other day. We were talking about this. Triple and I were on Tuesday. Did you see that video that went viral of Shaq where he's talking to a dude, he's like looking down on a guy, and he turns around and he's looking in the chest of a 7'9" Florida Gator freshman? It's this kid, Olivier Rio. He's Canadian. 7'9".
That's nuts.
Now, I don't know if this kid's got any skills, but he's got, I mean, 7'9", you just stand under the basket and put it in, man.
Well, it's like Wimby, right? He's long, but he's thin. If he was playing Shaq now, Shaq would be putting him in the basket, right? It wouldn't even be a matchup. But these guys that you're talking about, man, if they got size on them, Mike, they're monsters, man. Like, you know, Yao Ming, all these guys are just so big. It feels like the guys in the 80s and 90s were bigger bodies.
Yeah, just
bigger guys.
Big in the dumper, too.
Yes.
I mean, you meet Charles Oakley, he looks like a tight end.
Correct.
I mean, or a defensive end.
Correct. Yeah, I'm always amazed at that. And then you see guys now, and they're so thin, and they're skilled, but they're thinner.
And that kid, Rio, he was the Guinness Book of World Records, the tallest teenager at 7'5". So, unbelievable. If you hadn't seen the video, just Google Shaq and tallest dude, and you'll be like, holy moly.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to get to the daily download. We got a lot more to dive into. Hawks did beat the Bulls last night. How many of you were surprised?
I just raised my hand.
Me too. Because what you saw last night is a lot of what we see in the G League with this team. And two of those guys play a lot for the G League team, and they showed up last night. We'll talk about that. Also, this weekend, NFL, Mike, we got to start breaking it down. Danny Cannell's going to stop by to talk about the national championship later.
Yeah.
But these games, I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, man, and it just feels like, I don't know, I've said the other day, it just feels like it's going to be a whooping. Ohio State, you know, I'm not saying they're going to TCU it like Georgia, but it just feels like this one could be a little one-sided. Notre Dame, though, has been, you know, shutting up the critics all season.
How soon are the Falcons going to narrow down their DC finalist? We'll talk about it next.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Thanks again to everybody who showed up at Buffalo's Cafe yesterday in Hiram. Great times. We're going to be, as we mentioned, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. I don't know if you saw this, Carl, if you're watching the Hawks game, the last home game when they took care of Phoenix. I think we got to give a credit to Raina, the bartender from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. She was in various states of undress sitting courtside with a couple of lovely friends, which, dare I say, maybe distracted Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and the Suns.
Well, we know this. She makes a heck of a drink. She does a terrific job.
She does a mezcal old fashioned.
That's right.
Which is pretty tight. But anyway, Raina's a good friend of ours, and I had to laugh because I was like, are you sitting courtside? Uh-huh. So, and those party people have those great seats that are between both our bench and the visitor's bench. You know, those little, like those sick, there's always something happening. Those are people you want to party with.
Correct. Yes. Those are the folks that are in the no crowd.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Hey, whatever it takes, man. The Hawks have won two games. Obviously, the Suns, and then last night. Last night was just a shocker. Only because, did you see who was out?
Yes, everybody. Chris, it dropped at 6 o'clock yesterday, the injury report, and to not have Trey with ribs and not have Jalen and DeAndre Hunter. So we were joking around that, well, at least the Skyhawks can get on a plane. They're right next to the airport. But, and that was literally the Skyhawks. Anyamata did a nice job. All the everybody else, the B team stepped up.
Yeah, they really did. Bulls lose, we win, and we're going to talk more about the game and the standings. And where we are. But when you can win those kinds of games, because, I mean, no Zachary Richache. Everybody was out.
Hey, more on the Hawks is part of our daily download.
Story number one.
Yeah, man, it's about the D.C. and who's it going to be? I got no sense of urgency on this. I mean, can't play any football, Carl. Can't get any guys in here yet. Matter of fact, we got to talk about the turnover on the defense. Might be a completely new-looking roster. But Steve Wilks is going to interview next week. Lou Anarumo from the Bengals has already spoken, as has Wink Martindale with the Falcons.
Yeah, and again, everybody's going through this, right? Teams that are looking for head coaches. We mentioned all the virtual interviews that are going on, some in person. For those coaches don't have playoff connections right now, but a lot of virtual stuff. And it's just interesting. The Todd Monken thing. If the Ravens go on to the Super Bowl, Mike, and again, I don't think it has to happen. I think he's a hot candidate right now. But if it does, I think it just puts a little extra sauce on his name. And then, you know, some of the names we've been talking about. But for us, the urgency is only to beat another team to the guy you might want. It has nothing to do with the offseason or the programs or who we might draft. All of that stuff is still yet to be determined. This is simply if you know another team, and all these teams know, they want this guy, he is high on their list, and we really like him. If you do, do not clown around, because that's when you start getting into, and Mike, we'll never know this because they won't admit it, the second and third and fourth choices, right? And and it becomes, oh, no, he was our first choice. No, he wasn't. And my thing is, it doesn't matter if it works, but if you have a guy that you really love, do it.
Period. Now, we got an article from Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com, you know, talking about the struggles with the defense and talking about, we'll get into it in depth about, you know, remember Judon's likely, I mean, he's gone. You knew that was a one type deal. You know, if he bet on himself, that's a fail because, you know, he may bounce around like Jadeveon Clowney now, but, you know, he needed more, I think. And certainly we love what we heard as far as leadership. Justin Simmons gave you two sacks, but was very inconsistent. I think you got to draft for secondary. You've got to get, you got to go high for some help for A.J. Terrell. We love Ebikadi, and maybe Ebikadi really breaks through to the next level if there's a real stud on the opposite side. And that's another thing. I know we're in nickel the majority of the time in the NFL. We kind of broke it down with Matt Verderam yesterday talking to NFL about, you know, the 4-3-3-4 thing is kind of a little overrated. I think I still like a 4-3 better.
Well, they're so integrated now. That's the reason why a lot of teams are not so caught up in being so specific about it, because a lot of teams run a little bit of both. But I will say this, if you are more 3-4, Mike, for us, and I've said this, we got to get bigger up front. We just don't have the size up front to run the 3-4 effectively. I'm not telling you guys aren't playmakers. You know, people always bring up Grady. Grady's a playmaker. But when you start talking about protecting your linebackers, having great inside linebackers, if you like Caden Ellis and you think he can really take off into the next step, that's an area where we've got to get better, which is why I keep talking about development. I don't care who this guy is. We also need to develop the guys we currently have. We cannot draft Rook and Trice and all these guys and not get anything from them moving forward.
And that's it. I was making the point yesterday, and I was getting a lot of nods from the audience up there at the bar at Buffalo's Cafe, and Chris and I were going, I think Chris agreed. I thought there'd be a sense of urgency to get the most impactful pieces. Now, look, they made the Penix move, and hopefully that will, in the long run, pan out. But I just thought, okay, if you're going to go for Penix, you've got to get an impact guy. And maybe Rook will be that guy. You can't judge a guy after one season. I just still thought, look at all these corners that went after him that are starting, Carl. They're in the playoffs right now.
Yep.
They're having impact. And then you combine that with, as Mark Raimondi points out in his article, Mike Hughes, they liked him. Remember, we kept you and I were drilling down on the corner all preseason. And they said, no, we have the guys. I don't know about that. Anybody not named A.J. Terrell was not great. D. Alford and Hughes are free agents. We mentioned Justin Simmons. Landman's a free agent. Judon, we talked about. Lorenzo Carter, you know, great guy, but never really, you know, man, if he, If he played like he looked, he'd have 15 sacks, man, right, every night. Also, James Smith, Williams are free agents. Grady and Onyemata, are they going to ask Grady to restructure? Are they better suited in a 4-3? That's obviously how Grady's out of place in the 3-4.
Well, look, you don't change your whole defense for one guy.
No.
That's the other part. I mean, like, that's why when you keep saying 4-3, you don't change your whole defense for one guy. If that's the situation, Mike.
Right.
Then you evaluate, you use him in a different way if you still think he can make plays, or you move on.
It's our daily download, guys, brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. You want to keep up with that resolution to lose the LBs and keep them off? Check out ATL Live Well right next to the battery. Story number two.
Story number two.
We touched on it. Hawks, man, beat up, and the other dudes, the B team, came in and did a nice job for Quinn Snyder, and they get the win up in Chi-Town.
I'm wondering, Chris, you still down on Double O a little bit? He's been playing well, at least the last two games. Last night, another double-double, right? 14 and, mm-hmm. and 13. This is what we need from him.
Yeah, but you need it every night. That's yes. the problem, right? Now we're talking about the potential being reached, but the sample size is still too small as the trade deadline, Carl and Mike, is like 2 weeks away. That's the problem.
You want to move Double O?
I like Double O. I've never been as high as Double O because you've always felt there's more of a ceiling.
Yes.
As to Chris's point, if he could give you, 20 and 10 every night, well, then hell yeah. Then you really say, okay, Clint Capella, we love you, but that's an expiring contract. For those who don't remember, brought up yesterday, remember when we had, who was it, who went to Boston as a free agent, just left here?
Oh, Al.
Al Horford. Al Horford has, that's the same situation you're in with Clint. Obviously, Al's got more intrinsic value, signed a big deal in Boston, but you've got to get something for Capella, get anything for Capella, because I don't think you're re-signing him after this season. He walks.
I agree. I'm talking about, Carl, is moving him into the starting lineup.
Yes, yes. But see, I think he can handle it. And look, two games don't make your season. But remember how he started the year, right? He had the big game, and everybody went, wow, because he hadn't played. He had been injured. And then he shows these flashes. 20 boards the other night, right? Last night, another double-double. That's what I need from – I don't need 35 points from him if these other guys are rolling. But you're right, and that is going to be the decision where they go, we can win with him, and to Mike's point, move on from Capella and go get whatever we need. What is it you think we need to go deep in the playoffs?
I felt, an upgrade in the front, but again, it's got to make sense. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want to move Capella just to move him, but there is generally a rule in the NBA, if you've got a guy on an expiring contract, you go at the trade deadline and you get something in return that's going to, you'll have, what the Braves always say, salary control, somebody who makes it fit.
Yep.
And the other thing is, do you feel now, okay, we're two games over 500, we've had the injury bug, hopefully it stops. Is Wrestler going to get into one of those friggin' aprons that no one understands about spending a little bit more money?
It's a good question. It really is. And that is, to me, the bigger question, because these aprons, you're paying taxes on them. For those who don't understand, it's just different levels of how much tax you want to pay as an owner. And, for the teams that are championship caliber, they're not afraid to do that because they feel like they're on the cusp, Mike. You're going to recoup that money through playoff runs and home games and all the stuff you're going to have.
Right.
If you are 8, 9, 10, 11, does your owner really want to get into those aprons and pay the extra tax it's going to take to bring in the players? That's what Tony Wrestler has to make a commitment to.
Right. And this weekend, good weekend to be a couch potato. Hopefully we'll get some good enough weather to play some golf, maybe some rain. Either way, it's time for the NFL. Story three.
Story number three.
Gonna be chalk. You feel it's gonna go? I saw Bill Barnwell had an article in ESPN, I think it was yesterday, said that you realize that since we've gone to the 7-team, format, that the 7th seed is now 1-9. That the only 7-team that won, take a wild guess, Green Bay, when they knocked off the Cowboys last year. They should have gotten McCarthy gotten.
Right.
They just don't seem to get it done. Moving forward now in this bracket, you feel the Commanders, are gonna get whooped by Detroit. I still think L.A. can present some matchups with that defense that maybe limits Saquon's effectiveness and make Jalen Hurts beat you, and maybe he can't do it right now.
I agree with that. The Chiefs are rested. They're as healthy as they've been.
Most uncompelling matchup of the weekend?
Andy Reid doesn't lose after having 2 weeks off, Mike. Like, that's what you're talking about. You're telling me that the best coach in the NFL had 2 weeks with the best quarterback, and they're not going to be ready? By the way, they play in week 16, and that was the game in which Mahomes was supposed to have the hurt ankle, and they beat him.
Right.
So it's hard for me to look at that. I like Chiefs. I do like Lions just because they score, man. Lions are going to score. I don't know if the Commanders can keep up with that. They're giving you 30-some-odd points a game. The Rams, that's my upset. I really do like that. And then this Ravens Bills game, Mike. Ooh, it's a pick 'em.
This is one. I mean, just get your popcorn, as the man says. I cannot wait. And the other thing with this is, you know, in sports, we always sell you the big matchup, and I cannot see this not being an awesome football game that comes down to the final possession.
Me neither. Josh is playing like. Listen, the motivation alone. The two quarterbacks that everybody thinks is the MVP are playing head to head. What better way to prove to the world that I am in fact that dude? Have a great game and lead my team to the AFC Championship game. That alone has me wanting to watch. But the way Lamar has played, the way Derrick Henry, can they continue this? The way things have gone for the Ravens, I'm just like, their defense is so improved. I can't wait. And by the way, I don't know what the weather's going to be, but they're saying it's going to be cold. Really cold.
Right.
So does that play a factor as well? Because, again, you talk about home field advantage, Mike. That's the deal, having to go play the Bills in mid-January. What do you do? You got to run the ball.
Yeah, man. I know that Kansas City, and I said to Carl, you just have a feeling that – and C.J. Stroud, they kind of took a step back this year at times offensively. They weren't the juggernaut. You know, Diggs came in, then the injury, so he didn't have a real big effect on them.
Do you think Mahomes is going to throw four picks?
No.
Neither do I.
No. And the thing is, remember, it was the Deshaun Watson team that had that big lead. It was like 5 years ago, and then they folded, remember? Yep. And Kansas City came back. The only other story, and this is on some of those like websites, you know, like Barstool's got it and the Bro Bible. It's like, is Travis Kelce now fat? Well, I wouldn't say fat, but they've found some like anybody else. You get a picture of somebody at a bar getting out of a car. You can have the angle. It's very unflattering.
True.
But they made Kelce look like he's the before and after weight loss commercial. So I don't know. I think that's a guy who's been hearing it all season. I want to see him bounce back and go crazy.
And he probably will. I mean, look, he's occupied. You know, he's got the biggest pop star in the world,
right?
You know, texting him and doing whatever, who knows? But the point is, Mike, he's occupied. I am not worried about Travis Kelce. You're absolutely right. He's a baller, man.
It's a daily download brought to you by ATL Live Well. If there was a Ford story, and we will dive into this, our man Jason Longshore. Chris and I were talking about it yesterday with Smoke and Joe Patrick. We might be getting Miggy back. Miguel Almirón coming back from Newcastle. Kind of miscast over there. Literally like that movie, Goal, The Dream Begins. He never got the respect of the coaching staff and always seemed kind of like, when he was on the pitch, made things happen. I just said to Chris yesterday, get your take. I know I would buy some seats to go watch. I would be spending more time at Mercedes-Benz with United if Miggy was back.
He is, and for those of you who didn't see him play, he was the go guy. He was as good as Joseph Martinez was. He was the guy that stirred the drink, and he was so fast and so fun to watch. And his playmaking skills, Mike, with either foot, like he could be anywhere and make magic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're getting that because 18 was special, right? We always talk about like that. That's the outlier. But if he get anything close to that, that's a difference-making kind of guy.
We'll ask Jason about it. Sky Sport, that's the English TV network, their version of ESPN. They're reporting that we're actually spending money in the transfer portal, as it were, for soccer in the window to go get a couple of dudes. There's another player from the Ivory Coast who plays for Middlesbrough, so we'll see if that's accurate because they did say they got to get the DPs, designated players, and I'm not sure how much of this is real or not, but I know it would create some buzz, so Jason will join us next hour here on Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Padley. You can sell your home for cash fast. That's P-A-D-L-Y buys.com, PadleyBuys.com. A couple guys hit us up on the text line earlier saying, Carl, welcome back. Also, that everybody is apparently dealing with the same stuff that you and I have been dealing with. Ever since COVID, we were just talking about this with Dave, our sales manager, and Mike Conti, our boss. It just seems like the colds, for some people, since COVID,
stick around.
They just don't go away.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been dealing with, and you've been dealing with, and a lot of folks are dealing with.
Yeah, and for us, or at least in my situation, it affected, you know, my voice.
Right.
And it's not anything, I say this, but, you know, the docs like sinus and all the stuff that's happening. So I'm taking all the meds, and I do feel a lot better. I don't feel necessarily bad, but you can hear, you know, it's affecting the voice. With some people, Mike, it affects their respiratory.
Right.
Right?
That's why a lot of folks there's been stories you've read. AJC had a story about it the other day about people going in emergency rooms and more on doctor's visits and everybody, you know, you feel like you're like on a furball. You just can't get out of your gullet. That's going. I do like when Carl's voice does change. He sounds like Eazy-E from NWA. So it is kind of, yeah, Orin, it's a very interesting phenomenon. Yeah. that was on last night, that's by good. The way.
NWA?
It was on. I couldn't stop. You want to just reach in and punch the Paul Giamatti character of Jerry Heller, who was just stealing everybody's money.
And he played it so well.
He really did.
He played it so well.
I mean, playing the perfect archetype for the Weasley manager who's just screwing everybody over, other than even Eric at the end.
When we had Ice Cube on, and we were talking to him just about a month or so ago when he was in town, and he was just like, he still like just had to get away from Jerry Heller. He's still about that.
Right.
All right.
Hey, man, we got more stuff to dive into, including the NFL Blitz. They're saying that Sirianni is in total control in Philadelphia?
What?
Not sure about that. And we'll continue to dive into what are the Falcons going to do? Who's the guy? What's the philosophy? It's Dukes and Bell, number one sports talk show in Atlanta. Thanks to you.